For the past few years, the Great Salt Lake has really existed as two separate bodies of water, the North Arm and the South Arm. They're divided by a rock-filled railroad causeway that I'm driving down, watching the sun begin to fade into the West Desert. Built in 1959, the causeway was designed to allow flow through two 15-foot-wide culverts near the middle of the lake that have since been closed due to structural concerns. A 290-foot-wide breach was installed in the mid-80s, but as David Tarbottom, professor of civil and environmental engineering at Utah State University, explains, there's a problem.
The level difference between the South Arm and the North Arm is about 2 feet, or maybe a little bit more than 2 feet. Normally, when the lake is higher, the difference would only be about a foot. But right now, the level has dropped to where water no longer flows over the breach. So the only exchange of water between the two parts of the lake is seepage through the causeway, and that's not a lot.
Sarah Knoll, a professor in watershed sciences at USU, recently co-authored a study on the causeway with Tarbottom. She says the years of separation have caused the North and the South Arm to exhibit observable differences.
The main thing you would notice is that one arm, the South Arm, is kind of greenish or bluish in color. The North Arm would have kind of a pinkish or a reddish hue. That's from a bacteria that prefers the very saline water in the North Arm. And the reason for that salinity difference is, one, the causeway is stopping the mixing of the water. But then almost all of the streamflow comes into the South Arm. The Bear River, the Weber River, and the Jordan Provo Rivers. The only water that the North Arm gets is direct precipitation.
This is concerning for two reasons, the big E's, ecology and economy, and they both center partially around brine shrimp. The North Arm is too salty for these crustaceans to thrive in, and sometimes the South Arm is too fresh to support the $57 million a year industry. Also affected by salinity is mineral extraction on the lake. Both of these industries combined generate $1.3 billion in revenue annually.
You know, nationally, you probably wouldn't notice it, but for Utah, it's an important local source of revenue. So if nothing happens, the North Arm would basically reach saturation or close to it most years and most times of the year, and then the South Arm would become fresher, and especially in wet years. And so there might be fewer places that are appropriate salinities to support the ecosystem.
Union Pacific, who operates the railroad, proposed different bridge designs when the culverts were closed in 2013, but by the summer of 2015, no construction had begun and no designs had been decided upon. So together, Noel Tarbottom and a graduate student and lead author on the study, James White, compared the possible bridge models to determine their effect on salinity and lake levels.
All of the bridge designs are kind of trapezoidal bridge openings, and you'd put those in and all of a sudden water would be able to flow back and forth. So our findings, we found that out of the four bridge designs, the largest would be most like natural conditions. It would allow the most mixing between the North and the South Arm.
While the study suggested that the 180-foot-wide bridge was the best option to revert to original flow conditions, it also pointed out that the alteration of salinity in both arms would be a boon for some industries, but a bust for others.
There's a optimum range that is believed to hold for the brine shrimp to be sort of best, and obviously the brine shrimp harvesters want the lake to be in that range.
Mineral extractors in the north may lose out with lower salinity levels, while those in the south would benefit. And in the south, brine shrimp collection would be in its prime with higher water levels. But if the water becomes too saturated with salt in the low-level years, the industry may suffer. Recently, Union Pacific announced its plan for a bridge design that would allow for adaptive control of water flow depending on its needs. But there's no end date for the project, so the future of the causeway and the lake divided remain unclear. Reporting for The Source, I'm Justin Prather.